When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the fastest way to pull up the stream is go directly to the station site 1150kknw.com. Click on Listen Live and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Search Martha Norwalk's Animal World on Facebook. You'll find that recall from Fromm's on there. Just went up this morning because it just came out. Products distributed all over Canada and the U.S. So if you feed Fromm's products, check it out. Martha Norwalk's Animal World on Facebook. Hey, I am so excited. It's an extra Sunday month. Boy, we have filled up somebody special. My ultimate bucket list guest is here, Dr. Jeff, Rocky Mountain vet. And it's the real deal. He is. He's here. I can see him. And I just wish I could, if I could just somehow go through the screen. Dr. Jeff, I would bow at your feet. I truly would. I admire you and your work. I have so much respect for you. Well, and knowing because, you know, I spent almost 20 years working in veterinary medicine. You know, so I have an, I know how hard, you know, how much work it is. And then to see what goes on in the practice and so forth. But we were, if you're just joining us, we were kind of catching up and getting us all into the present tense, because it's a little confusing if you're just watching the TV shows, because there haven't been any new Dr. Jeff Rocky Mountain Vet Animal Planet shows since 2022. So everything we're watching is old stuff. Okay, so there's 4 years that we don't really know about, and we're catching up on that right now. Yeah. Jeff, they moved their practice to Conover, Colorado, and smaller town. Now, and it's interesting, Dr. Jeff, that when you went into Conover and started, you know, building, you know, putting a practice in there, you also snapped up their little humane society. Or yep. Rescue, and you seem to have done it. It's like the place, the bigger Planned Pethood that you built in Denver. You did, at least on the show, lots of rescue work and animals, yep. And it's like you almost had like a rescue in the hospital with you. But so rescue is something you've always done.
Always.
But when you went into Conover, you not only got, you know, made the veterinary hospital, but also the, is it, I don't know if it's still the Humane Society.
Intermountain Humane Society. Yeah. We took it over. They were getting ready to sell it, basically give it to a big nonprofit who was just going to sell it off and take the assets. We actually have sold it off, but we're putting the assets back up here. We just finished the cattery, which we'll hopefully have open in the next few weeks. I'm trying to find someone to run it. But we did about a $100,000 remodel upstairs. It's really nice. The old place, the problem was it was really antiquated. They moved the dogs in at night next to the cats. Horrible idea. The dogs would bark all night. And it was the amount of money it would have taken to bring that up to code to really make it right would be ridiculous. So I always wanted, and to me, the future is having a shelter with a full service veterinary hospital, you know, with adoption, everything all in one. open to the public, and that's the way we are. We're starting a remodel for dog runs out the back, which is basically going to be the new dog shelter. So the cat shelter, wonderful. Cattery will be inside. It's really nice. And then we're going to have the outside indoor-outdoor runs, totally separate building. And so we just got, we're getting permission. All the permits are in and everything. So we're waiting. We should start break ground on that pretty quick. And that way, you know, we're serving the Intermountain community. But at the same time, we kind of want animals that need more long-term care, you know, so we can actually take something from out of state. And
well, that's what you were saying, that one of the reasons I that you were moved out of Denver or off to a smaller place was, you know, there were issues with, you know, people seeing the show.
Yeah.
And knowing, you know, what a great veterinarian you are and the type of complicated surgeries you take on. And I seriously mean it. I think you are the most gifted orthopedic surgeon I've seen. And like I said, I've worked with some of the best.
Dr. Petcher is far better.
I know you say that, but you know, I know a lot of times it's because her hands are smaller to get in, but you just think she is. And I think you raised another good one, that Dr. Don.
Yes.
He looks like he is probably really gifted in orthopedics as well.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with him. Nonetheless, you were saying that it really was a problem when people – you know, driving across the country and show up on your doorstep with this stuff. So talk a little bit more about that, because what the follow-up care, that's really hard.
We really try not to send people away. And now many people will contact us, and we really try to find vets in their area. I know quite a few vets in different states, so we'll send people there. If they can't do it, then we do bring them in, you know, and that's a last resort. You know, but it comes back to their dedication to the animal. How long do we have to keep it here? Those kind of things. And it really, there's no way to get funded properly for that. You end up eating a lot, you know, because you end up having an animal sometimes, let's say, for weeks to months before we can get it back to its home. Our goal is always the same. Get the animal back into its original home, if at all possible. Now, that's not always possible. People don't want to pay for anything, or say their dog gets parvo. They've had it for a few days. They just bring it up here and drop it on us, and you know they don't want to deal with it. And well, I don't fully understand that. My point is, those are animals that we're not going to just euthanize. So we do, you know, so we eat that, and we get them healthy, and we get them adopted. So you know, we're going to have this little bit of an expanded facility here to be able to adopt more animals. And we've always adopted 300 to 500 animals a year just through our clinic. You know, but pretty consistent.
Well, and my listeners, our Animal World family, they hear me say it all the time. Anytime I mention you, I probably always say, you know, we need a Dr. Jeff Planned Parenthood clinic. We need one in every state of the country. Probably two.
Money's there.
Are there other veterinarians doing what you do that you know? Because you just said, I know of some vets sometimes I can send people to. Are there other people taking up what you're doing?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, a lot more want to. But, you know, corporate's kind of taken over a lot of, especially in the cities, have taken over all the small animal practices. But there are still vets out there that are doing things very similar to what we do. They're for profit, nonprofit, whatever. I think the big failure for animals has been our nonprofits and the AVMA. Quite frankly, between the two of them, they've done everything to keep prices high, and in the end, you know, like the big five groups in 2022 brought in like $1.3 billion. But how many? And my thing is, why don't we have full service hospitals, two or three? I don't care who builds them. I don't care if it's Best Friends. I don't care if it's ASPCA, HSUS, Petco Love. It doesn't matter who builds them. Just build the damn things. Build them. Give people opportunities. Go into the poor areas. We know there's underserved areas where 87% of the animals are not fixed. 77% never see a doctor in their whole life, never see a veterinarian in their whole life. So we can do better. The money's there. There's no question about it. But we're not using it properly. And that's the big thing.
Well, and I want, you know, because I keep saying that, you know, I spent almost 20 years working in veterinary medicine. I thought like you, and we are going to backtrack in a minute here and go back through a little bit of your background. But, you know, I wanted to be a veterinarian. I thought I did as a child and all of that. But I ended up being more interested in behavior, and this long story of why I didn't go to vet school sort of thing. But I worked in veterinary medicine, and I started in the midst, when I was 15, you know, went down to the local vet, said, give me a job. I worked for him for 11 years. But that was like in 1965. So like in 65 to 85 are the years that I was working in veterinary hospitals. And so the original practice in that 11 years, the veterinarian I worked with, he was brilliant, brilliant guy, and very creative like you are sometimes with orthopedic surgery and stuff. But he was brilliant in that way, but he didn't really like animals. It's tough. He went to vet school on a bet. So I spent 11 years apologizing for him. But it was more... You know, what we charged was way more reasonable. And in all those years, you know, I know what it takes, you know, to neuter a cat. You know, I mean, 5 minutes if you're slow, you know, and you can, you know.
Less than a minute for me.
Huh?
Anything more than a minute is slow for me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I said. 5 minutes if you're slow, you know, span stuff, then, you know, 30 minutes if you're slow, you know, start to finish and all that sort of. But, you know, and what things are worth. And there was more of a feeling of caring like you have that in the practice. And we would give things away or do things, and we never turned anybody away, and I was responsible for collecting the money, so I let people charge stuff. I had people pay me a quarter a week, you know, for and all of that sort of stuff. But then after I set up the orthopedic surgeons and that practice and all that sort of stuff, then I took a break, was doing the, you know, my training and behavior stuff and all that sort of stuff. And the biggest practice in Seattle came after me and found me because I had a reputation, and they, so I went to work for them. What was really bothered me in those last years I spent in this phenomenal practice, I mean, fabulous veterinarians and great veterinary medicine, was it felt like we were trying to turn veterinary medicine into human medicine.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that really bothered me, you know? And so they built, you know, a big, huge surgical suite and had to be sterile and all that stuff and caps and gowns and masks and foot covering. And but just in doing all of that made everything so expensive. And then they hired an administrator to come in and make sure they're making money. And that darn administrator would go into the exam room after the vet had seen a patient and look in the trash can. Oh, you used a Q-tip. Did you charge for cleaning that dog's ears? Did you charge for squeezing those anal glands? Did you charge for this? You charge for that? And it was like all of a sudden we had to charge for everything. And trying to turn it into human medicine. And I think that's a lot of the problem. You know, animals aren't humans. And for crying out loud, they eat poop. And you know, they bury stuff and then dig it up years from now and eat it. I mean, they don't need the level of, you know, sterility and stuff.
You do certain things. Certainly, if you're going to put a plate or something in, it's real important that that doesn't touch the skin of the skin of the animal. Certain things learned over time, you know, thing going on for more than 2 hours, you're going to have more complications. I mean, these are, it's common sense stuff that I figured most of these things out over time, where my wife was taught that during vet school. And she goes, oh yeah, I taught that. And so, oh yeah, I learned that on my own by doing it the hard way, you know, but we have, we're trying to take human medicine, and it raises our status without a doubt in terms of, I think, our perceived status. But if you actually look at the polls, veterinarians are less respected now than they were 20 years ago for that very reason. We're seen as greedy, not caring. And we can do phenomenal things that we couldn't even conceive of 20 years ago, but it doesn't matter if it comes across as just us being greedy and, you know, like not talking to you like as a human being and not viewing your animal as part of your family, which they are.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's missing. And the boards, the state, the boards will do everything they can to go after people like me. Or Dr. Pohl, or whoever you want to mention, you know, because
they
once
did
again,
go after Dr. Pohl. For anybody, Dr. Pohl does, you know, is a one of the, you know, television vets, Dr. The Incredible Dr. Pohl. I think that's it. Isn't he? I think he's on the Nat Geo channel.
Yeah, Nat Geo. Right.
But, you know, old country guy, still doing it the same way. And, you know, is practicing good medicine and so forth, but doesn't have, you know, all the fancy stuff. But I do remember in the back of my mind, they did go after him. Hopefully they weren't successful in causing him any problems. I think the show is still on, but
they definitely view what nonprofits do, what we do differently, and not in a good way. You know, I mean, they really want to squish competition. That's why, and I really do believe that.
You know what bothers me? These all these corporate veterinary, you know, the VCAs and the Banfields and these corporate practices, and then there's all the, you know, you got to go with the corporate line and right. how you do things.
I think they're losing ground. I think, you know, because I've had students from, I think, 11 or 12 different vet schools come through just the last couple of years up here in Conifer to be trained by us, and almost every one of them, without it, you know, just don't want to go to work for corporate. The problem is, there's not a lot of their options for them. Once again, if the nonprofits would set up and start building full service hospitals, they could hire vets right and left, because, you know, it's their advantage. First off, they can write off some of their student loan if they go to work for a nonprofit, but they want to do more full service stuff. And with corporate, they don't get an opportunity to, you know, you really are babysitting. Unless you have an advanced degree, you're not going to do anything other than anal glands and vaccines, you know, maybe a spay or neuter every now and then.
Well, and there's issues definitely with veterinary medicine here in our area. The real problems started during the pandemic, of course, when everything, you know, locked down, all that sort of stuff. But now my veterinarian, I drive a ways to go where I go, but she can only be open 4 days a week now. They're only open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. She can't find a good vet to hire.
Yep.
It's all the corporates everywhere.
Yep. No, and you can't compete. You know, I mean, I went with a young lady that came through here. We helped get her into vet school. She took a job with, you know, one of the corporate, and I think she got a $60,000 signing bonus. And I think she has to stay there for 2 years or something.
Wow.
And she's getting paid something like $150,000 a year. Well, you know, I can't start a new vet as a nonprofit for anything like that. You know, Dr. Petra, that's about what she gets paid a year, you know, and she's far more talented than 99% of the doctors walking on this earth. So I don't know. You know, I don't know.
And she's been doing it for a long time.
Only about 12 years now, really.
So, well, I mean, but that's years.
And our place is high volume. So, yes, I mean.
Well, that's the other thing that I had to watch you for a little while, because, see, my training, you know, back when I was working in veterinary medicine and I was with this big fancy practice that's turning everything into human medicine. Great vets and all of that, and did really good work. You know, the first veterinary veterinary ophthalmologist, the first dermatologist, and all the, you know, specialty things and all that sort of stuff. But they always preached that you had to stay away from what they called firehouse practices. They said, too many patients, go too fast, you know, and it's like a firehouse. And so they don't practice good medicine, don't do what they should do. So I kind of had that, you know, in my mind, and that was kind of sunk, you know, driven into me. And so when I started watching Dr. Jeff Rocky Mountain Vet, you know, it smacks of that to start with, because it appears that you have so many it looks like you have so many vets in the practice that people just walk in and with an animal and, oh, the teeth are horrible, it needs dental, so we just go right back and do it immediately. Or it needs surgery, we just do it immediately. Yeah. Well, most practices don't do that. You know, it's like, well, we'll schedule it next week or, you know, whatever. So I had to watch a little while because I was very attracted to your energy and what you were doing. And then I realized that must be, you know, doing the volume has to be part of the way that you make it work financially.
Absolutely.
But that you don't waste money on all the human medicine type stuff, but you have all the bells and whistles in terms
Absolutely.
Of the equipment and the special things you can do and all of that sort of stuff. you don't waste time trying to be a human hospital.
No, and that's exactly it. And I mean, I'll say we try to send people to specialists all the time. You know, I mean, I tell people, look, I'm not a specialist. Now, the first heart surgery I did, it's scary cracking a chest open, but now I've done it literally dozens and dozens of times. I feel very comfortable. And I took two lung lobe masses out of cats in the last month, you know, so, one turned out to be cancer. We put to sleep. The other one is still going strong, you know? So, you know, but it's, if you can't afford $10,000, why wouldn't I give it at least a shot? You know, I mean, and if you learn from your mistakes, if you have half a brain at all. I mean, I'm over 226,000 surgeries. So I've learned a little bit over the years, you know.
Wow.
So I feel very confident, especially in my soft tissue ability. I don't think there's anything soft tissue wise that I can't do, you know. But having said that, you know, if you get written up or, you know, someone complains, the board looks at you like, well, you're not a specialist. You shouldn't have been doing that to begin with. And well, the option was to euthanize to begin with, you know, so.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know,
hello.
And we got to get past that. We just got to get past that, you know.
So now that you've moved to Conifer, you have a new hospital there and the Humane Society as well. Do you maintain the same large staff and that you did in Denver, or have you?
No, we're a little bit smaller simply because it's hard to find people who want to work. You know, I mean, I would love to go 7 days a week, you know, to have people here. I mean, we always have people in there. Like today, we're closed on Sundays and Mondays. We go 5 days a week. We're closed on Sundays and Mondays. Now, I got a vet downstairs going through all the animals. They have to come in because they get 5 days off for working the weekend, you know. But having said that, you know, I can't find more people that want to work, you know, and not for a price what I can pay them anyway. You know, I mean, you know, I can start you at $125,000, $130,000 a year. I can't do any more than that. I just can't afford it, you know. So if we have more big donations down the line, hopefully things change, you know. But so many people give their money to these groups that are sitting on literally hundreds, tens of millions to hundreds of millions of dollars. If you give me $1 million, I'm not going to sit on it. I'm going to put it back into use and help more animals, hire more people, do whatever I can. You know, that's just
fantastic. All right. We need to take care of advertisers before we get too far off schedule. And then when we continue, I'm going to, there's so much more to talk about. And we're just touching a drop of what Dr. Jeff does. And when we get into more of his international work and so forth, like if you were watching Animal Planet last night like I was, then the Dr. Jeff shows, the shows that they were airing last night, Jeff was doing a lot of work in Mexico and the Yucatan Peninsula and all. And we got to get into all of that. But I think
he'll do.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about all of that stuff. But I think when we come back, we're going to do a little and we're going to go back in time a little bit. And let's find out how Dr. Jeff got where he is and all of that good stuff. And so we'll catch up on a little bit of history. And then, of course, we'll just continue with our discussion. And there's so much more to get into. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here. More with Dr. Jeff, Rocky Mountain Vet, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's A-N-A-N-D-A Washington.org.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Conversation you won't find on the rest of the dial. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, yo, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. They are, have the Blue Lotus Temple and Yoga Hall and Bothell and the Linwood Community and the Heart Song Retreat and the East West Bookshop and Edmunds. Check them all out. They're fabulous. AnandaWashington.org, AnandaWashington, or AnandaWashington.com for all of the classes and events. And remember, Jude Ponton, our sound healer, acutonic specialist, and light chiropractic, and boy, is she a miracle worker. Check her out, whispering-dragon.com online, Whispering Dragon Center. On Facebook, or give Jude a call. She'll call you back, 206-706-2836, 206-706-2836. All righty then, we are in the middle of a conversation with one of my most respected heroes, animal heroes on the planet. That would be Dr. Jeffrey Young, the Rocky Mountain vet. And I realized that when I was talking to you earlier about all the bad information online, I'm going to take a minute here to tell you where you can find Dr. Jeff and catch up with him and know you're getting legitimate stuff. You can still watch Animal Planet and the Rocky Mountain, Dr. Jeff Rocky Mountain Vet shows, but, there are no new shows. There haven't been new shows since 2022. You can order a copy of this great book that Melinda Grohal wrote about Dr. Jeff. She did a very nice job in really covering all the bases. It's called Beyond the Boundaries, The Life and Times of Dr. Jeff Rocky Mountain Vet. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. Now, online and for social media, I'll do my best at giving you this information because, I'm not techie just like Dr. Jeff. But on Facebook, there is only one official Dr. Jeff site. And it is Jeffrey Young, not Dr. Jeff Rocky Mountain Vet. There is a Facebook page, Dr. Jeff Rocky Mountain Vet, and they're the ones that post all the stuff and say that Jeff is dying and all that sort of thing. And it looks really official, and it fooled me for a long time. Okay, but it's not good, so do not go there. I even yesterday, when it came through my feed and it said, say hi, let us know you're still there, I just said, don't do it. This is something. Anyway, so I'm chiming in. So the only legitimate Facebook page for Dr. Jeff, it's Jeffrey Young, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, Jeffrey Young. That's legitimate. And then on Instagram, he is at Dr. Neuter, @drneuter dot. I think that dot goes along with it. @drneuter dot. And that's on Instagram. And so I don't do Instagram. Now, you can also go to the website Planned Pethood International.org. And yes. Great website, all kinds of good stuff there. And then there is, where did that go? I know there's something else that I have.
We have a lot of stuff posted on YouTube.
Ah, okay. And so go to YouTube and what, search Dr. Jeff or Dr. Jeff Rocky Mountain Vet, or do you know?
Honestly, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I think it's probably under Jeffrey Young.
Okay, Jeffrey Young on YouTube. David, can you check that out? Find out, yeah. See if you can find Dr. Jeff on YouTube and let us know.
I don't go on there. They just post them. We do, and Andy posts them. It could be under Dr. Jeff. I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think that, but there's one place that can go to get everything at once. And so I think I'm going to need to check for that again. So let's see. I bet I can come up with that. Okay, so if you want to listen to, that's the other thing, Dr. Jeff, you got a podcast going on now. And yep. So if you want to listen to the podcast or make a donation directly to Planned Pethood, there's one link. It's Linktree, and you can access everything at one place. So this is what you go to. It's link, linktr.ee/Dr. Jeff PPI. linktr.ee/Dr. Jeff PPI. And that will get you all of those things on one page, and you just have to click on them.
It gets so complicated. Once again, I'm totally illiterate, but Andy and Steve are always doing these things and putting them up. And I can't even find them after time myself. So it's like, well, that's nice, guys. Keep it up.
Well, that's why if David can find it, we know probably anybody can. Okay, so David, you checked, and what the YouTube channel is what?
Dr. Jeff, the Rocky Mountain Vet.
Yep.
Yeah, Dr. Jeff, the Rocky Mountain Vet.
So if you type that in on YouTube, that will come up with, all right, great stuff. So if David can find it, anybody can. So we're good. But you are doing a podcast now. So that's a way that people can actually hear your voice and keep up with current stuff. There are, I listened to a podcast yesterday, and it was fun to hear everybody. And there are, I think there are four from when you go to the podcast link, and you're going to start a new season of podcasts, I think, the next month, September.
Yeah,
is that right?
September. I think we've already got a couple in the can, as they say.
Uh-huh.
But I think we're looking for some other people, and Andy does all that. He does a really good job, Andy Duffer.
Cool. All right. So let's backtrack a little bit, and because, you know, with your passion for animals and all the service work that you do, it seems like this has to have been a lifelong calling. I mean, were you into animals from the beginning, as when you were young? How did this all get started?
Always. I think my mom would say I always dragging something home, half alive, half dead. I don't know, I was raised kind of weird because, I mean, my stepdad was an avid hunter. And I mean, I was literally shooting things when I was 6 and 8 years old, I killed my first deer in the woods in Montana with a high powered rifle by myself. And I think about that now, and I got grandkids 20 years old, and the idea of me giving them a high powered rifle scares the living shit out of me, quite frankly. I know. So I just different times, you just raised differently. And somewhere, you know, yeah, once I got into vet school, I mean, I used to hunt and trap, do all those things. And I can't even conceive of doing those things now. Although I would feel better about shooting a deer and eating it than eating a McDonald's hamburger, quite frankly. So, they don't need either, for the record.
But it sounds like, you know, you and animals were always attracted to you. I was the same thing. I always used to say, but I grew up, you grew up in kind of, you know, a more rural, you know, country. So you got that exposure. I grew up in the city. But okay. I always said there was an invisible shingle outside my house that said, any wayfaring animal that needs help, stop here. Yeah. You know, boy, do I have stories. Y'all have heard a lot of them. But anyway, so I think we shared that from the beginning. I didn't like people. I only felt safe with animals, you know, when I was young and had everything I could. But so you had lots to do with animals. But I think I don't think it was in your mind all the time that you wanted to be a veterinarian, but I think something happened that made you decide.
Pretty early on, your dog got hit by a car and died. And my dad, my real father in Indiana, they always were getting dogs, and they were always getting hit by cars because they never fixed them. Of course, they always ran, you know, and we didn't know, you know, that's the reality. There was no education, and it was a long time ago, you know. But we just know so much more now. Society's so much smarter now than we have more information. I can't say we're smarter, but we have more information. But I do think things are different. I have military bases, you know, we moved around a lot, smaller towns, military bases, but there was always animals in our lives. And I can't, I honestly, from about elementary school on, I can't remember a time where I didn't want to, there was a short time in there where I wanted to go to Vietnam and fight because I thought that was the right thing to do. What an idiot I was at that time. When you're 18 years old, you know, you don't know any better. But, you know, luckily my mom said, no, you need to go to college, not join the military. So, you know,
well, good for her.
Yeah. So it worked out good for me. And, you know, I'd probably be dead if I'd gone to the military.
It sounds like in the book, you know, you were kind of a rabble rouser in vet school, even that, you know, you've never been one to just sit back and go with the norm.
Now, I figure if I ever come across some perfect society, I'll be able to sit back and relax. But there's no such thing, right? You know, show me perfection. You know, where's it at?
Well, we're going in the opposite direction right now.
I can't agree with you more.
Do our best here to try to spread light and love and all that good stuff, and be a positive balance. But boy, it's tough these days, and you know, that's why I think what we do is so important, because the bond between humans and animals is incredible, and especially our domestic animals. You know, with all the turmoil and stuff going on in the country, around the world, with everything being unaffordable these days, and people sometimes, you know, are robbing Peter to pay Paul and all of that, having an animal to be with you and to go through all of that is an incredible gift to have and to be able to do. And for a long time, the first Sunday on An Animal World is Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. And for a long time, we featured a shelter, Seattle Dog Rescue, that just a really wonderful gal. And all she does is help the homeless people with their animals, you know, in Seattle, in the city, you know, around Seattle. And because, you know, those people are living on the street and, you know, they don't have anything and they don't have money. And sometimes their animal is the only thing that they have.
They truly care about their animals. They take as better care of their animals than they do of themselves. They'll give up, you know, things of themselves, and they don't have much to take care of their animals. So I've worked with a lot of homeless people, and I found that consistently true.
And I remember a show, a particular guy that something happened to his dog and he was homeless and came in and you didn't turn him away. And you went ahead and did whatever needed to be done to save the dog. But then you allowed him to pay whatever he could afford to pay. And I don't know, he was one of those, you know, 10 bucks a month or something. But I know that the story followed through and that he did keep up his commitment
and he eventually paid
the bill.
It was $100 total and he paid the whole amount
at
the time.
So, what it was, $100 you charged him and he paid the whole thing. But, it's so important. It's really tough for a lot of people. And having affordable vet care is so important. I know I hear from so many people, they now, of course, it's gotten so much like human medicine and so expensive that people are having to get insurance for their animals.
Which is going to keep driving prices up even more.
How do you feel about pet insurance?
First off, genetics, we know. So, you know, anything that's genetically linked, that's hereditary. So therefore insurance doesn't cover it. If you got a lab or a shepherd with hip dysplasia, too bad, right? You know, that.
Really?
Oh yeah. So, I mean, there's gotta be some better ones out there, but I've not been impressed with them at all so far. And they're great because sometimes shelters will give you a free, you know, month supply or 6 months free or whatever. If they happen to take the dog home, goes out and gets it by a car, it pays for it. It's really nice. It's covered. But for, you know, more chronic ongoing things, not good at all from what I've seen so far. So I don't know. You know, I don't know what the answer is. I do know Bob Christian did a study about, I think it was in 2020, 2021, somewhere in there, and he presented to the AVMA, basically come to the conclusion that only about 40% of Americans could afford current veterinary prices. And that was back then. Now it's even probably closer to 20 or 30%. But, you know, it's ridiculous from the standpoint of we can't have it both ways. We can't say these animals mean so much and you should spend X amount of dollars on them, but if they die, then, or if we've malpracticed, no big deal, you know, that's not worth anything. And that's an ongoing theme with veterinary medicine. If you can't afford it, you shouldn't have it. Well, you know,
yeah.
A year ago, a couple of years ago, you get an FHO done for $1,000 and now you can't get it done hardly anywhere because people are afraid to do them, or you got to do a total hip for $12,000 or whatever, you know? So,
well, that's one thing I found fascinating about you because, you know, remember, you know, I started the first orthopedic surgeons here in Seattle, veterinary orthopedic surgeons, and worked for them. And, you know, and man, they were fantastic and so forth. But it was before the days of hip replacements and that sort of stuff. And once that started happening, I'm guided a lot through my work and all of that, and just the idea of the hip replacement that just has never felt good to me. Yeah. And I was so delighted to see what you do at Planned Parenthood. You don't even do hip replacements. Knee replacements, that sort of stuff. And especially with the hip replacement, there's what I guess you'd call it an old surgery that was done, what you call an FHO, which is what femoral head osteotomy or something like that. But the head of the femur, which is like a ball, fits into the pelvis. And when there's hip dysplasia, that joint isn't right, and you know it can get arthritis and stuff. But what you just chop off that head of the femur,
get it done right. It's a beautiful procedure. I've taught it all over the world. You know, it's one procedure. If I see competent vets, that's the first bone surgery I teach them, because just so many animals get hit by car or have bad hips, and it really can make a tremendous difference. You know, and I was taught in school, you can't do it for animals over 40 pounds. I've done on 165-pound mastiffs. And if you look at the human literature, they actually do it well. They may not in this day and age, but it wasn't that long ago they were doing FHOs on humans.
Really? I didn't know that. FHO is a surgery that they used to do on humans?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the point is, I mean, I'm sure it's not that common, but in third developing countries, that's what they have available to them. And if you bone on bone grinding, if you can eliminate that, obviously it works better on four-legged animals than two-legged animals. But I know for a fact they've done it in humans in the past. So it's got to be good enough for a dog that has three other legs.
Because then the dogs, as we know, as they walk and start, you know, using the leg, then the muscles build up and stuff, and it doesn't matter. They don't really need that joint, you know, and they seem to get along
just
fine.
It becomes a scar tissue joint that's pain-free. That's the main, you know, is an ideal? No. Is it the leg is quite as strong as that dog's going to run quite as fast? No, but it'll still outrun you any day of the week.
Yeah, and it's better than an amputation or, you know, getting a mortgage on your house to do those, you know, hip replacements and so forth. Anyway, it just never felt good to me. Oh, and we're way over time. So we need to take care of our advertisers one more time in this hour, and we will be back more with Dr. Jeff, Rocky Mountain Vet. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
I'm Sue Rose Minahan. Join me on Talk Cosmos this Sunday about this coming lunar eclipse at 4 degrees Pisces. We'll explore how sudden insights guide us to discern the skills needed to turn idle dreams into reality. It includes attending to self-care, healing our self-worth, and developing talents and resources for true self-reliance. Journey with us on Talk Cosmos, August 23, 1 p.m. Pacific on KKNW.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
An alternative to everything else on your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but we're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our NuPro supplements, and remember, it's NUP, as in Peter, ROSupplements.com. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. Check them out online, and greatest cat vitamins called NuPro Nuggets, and the dog supplement, phenomenal. If you've got a dog that sheds, you need it. It just produces the most beautiful skin and hair coat, and the hair stays on the dog, okay? Instead of tumbleweeds around your house, you have to brush it off. So NuProSupplements.com, you can order online, order on Amazon, price is the same, or you can often find them in your local pet store. And, of course, you know anybody that needs help with their dog friends, that's what I do, and I come in and usually solve all problems in one session. Takes 4 to 6 hours, but then you get free phone follow-up with me, and we work miracles. So take my number down and give it to anybody you know that's got problems with their dogs. Tell them I'll talk to them for free on the phone, and if I'm not the best one to help them, I probably know who is. So write this number down, 360-217-7258, 360-217-7258. All righty then. We are in the middle of discussion with Dr. Jeff, Rocky Mountain Vet. Woohoo! And, oh, excitement, excitement, excitement. Alert, alert, alert. It's raining. Yay. It's raining outside my... Now, it's not a lot, but I just checked. Puddles in my driveway. Everything is wet. Woo-hoo. Anyway, we need rain so bad, and I'm just delighted. David, have you still got sunshine going on where you are?
No, it started to cloud over a little bit. It's just more clouds. The sun kind of disappeared, at least for now.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And then I broke one of my Animal World rules. Anytime, usually, Jeff, when we bring on a guest, I ask, and I didn't, what's the weather like down there for you in Conifer, Colorado? What do you got going on?
It's been unusually rainy, believe it or not.
So you got the rains. Okay, send it my way. Send it my way. And we need it in Eastern Washington.
It's the patterns have just changed. We've got a lot more rain, feel like, this year than we've had for the last few years. I'm not complaining about it because it's good to have because of the fire danger. But in other areas are super dry. So you go over one mountain, it's totally different.
Yeah, we've been getting drier and drier every season. And in my place, I used to live in a rainforest. But my rainforest is gone. It's dried up. It's really.
But then there's no such thing as global warming, right?
No, of course not. Yeah. Well, except if you live in Pacific Northwest, it's like, when I grew up here, I grew up in Seattle. Yeah. And the standing joke used to be on local TV, somebody say, well, what do you guys do in Seattle during the summer? And the host would say, if it happens on a weekend, we go to the beach. It was just always gray and drizzly.
That's the way I remember Seattle.
Yeah. And that's what it was like, but not anymore. We're praying for rain. So anyway, let's get back to, I think you avoided the Vietnam War and went to vet school instead. Now, I'm trying to remember when, because your big thing now, and I think, one of your biggest passions besides affordable vet care is overpopulation of animals and spay and neuter programs. When did that become a focus for you?
Well, before I graduated vet school, when I was working animal control, I really saw the seedy side of animal control, of the way we kept animals in certain poor areas. Just the repercussions from animals not being fixed. It was the same people. It's kind of, every year, the same people bring you litter. We never went back as a humane society and did anything about it. It's like, okay, you got another litter from Mr. Jones,
Right.
And 6 months later, you have another litter. And just that's kind of the way things work. And I don't know. So somewhere in there, I made a promise to myself, if I ever graduated vet school, which might have been questionable several times because of my activism, not because of my grades, because of my activism. But, I said I would definitely commit myself to overpopulation. It seemed the most worthwhile thing to do. And in all honesty, from 1990 to 2010, we dropped the euthanasia rate by 80-90% in most places in America. So we were killing, 24 million animals a year back in the 80s and early 90s. And we got it down to 3 to 4 million, depending on who you want to read. Now, some people say down to 2 million, 1 million. And we don't know. And economic euthanasia is not counted anymore, because if you get euthanized at a veterinary hospital, that doesn't count as euthanasia, but that's what it is. We know, just based on the AVMA, I suspect we're looking at least 1 million animals a year that are euthanized for no other reason than people can't afford to fix, to have whatever fix. $2,500 seems like the upper limit for something like 56% of the people, a pretty high figure. They can't go over $2,500, and 30-some% of people can't go over $1,500, or $1,000. Then you have about 14% of people that said that whatever amount of money they'd spend on their animal, so.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So we know there are caps. We know that the reality for middle America, that, you're not going to have a whole lot more than 2,500, and that's stretching it.
Yeah. And, you pretty much have that. That's one of the ways that you serve and kind of dedicated your life to doing whatever you can do to help lower the problem, and the overpopulation. And I do think we've made, some strides with that and the trap neuter release programs and
absolutely,
all of that sort of stuff.
I think the strides have come from society and just more of a consciousness in general of the world, giving it Earth Day to dolphin-free tuna to save the whales, save elephants. I mean, you know, all those things have just made society more aware of things. And I really do think, I'd like to say the big groups were a big part of it. The AVMA was a big part of it. They're not, you know, they're a very small part of it. And certainly we can do much better than what we're doing right now currently, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that, well, pretty much here, you know, in like the greater Seattle area and so forth, we have the official shelters, you know, the animal controls, you know, in the cities and that sort of thing. But we have tons of private nonprofit and no kill, so to speak, shelters. They now work kind of in conjunction with the city and county shelters, and most of the shelters around here have become, you know, the no kill as they can, because the private shelters will take the excess from the city or county shelters of the animals, and they all tend to get adopted. But the problem is all the shelters are full.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they can't always take in all of the animals, but at least in our area, it's starting that, well, if they have to take them and relinquish them at the county or city shelters, that usually the private nonprofits will help out so that they're not killing lots of animals. But, you know, there's still a lot of work to do. And there's now been some changes in what's recommended in terms of spaying and neutering and timing and that sort of thing. And one of the things we have to do, Dr. Jeff, is that I'm, you know, because I don't shy away from controversy or, you know, not disagree, whatever. I'm going to open a can of worms, but I'm looking at the clock and there's not time for me to open this can of worms right now, because we got to close out the second hour and fire up the third. But it has to do with spaying and neutering and timing and all that kind of stuff. And I'm just really curious about how you feel about this, because, you know, I told you, like you, I was into animals from the beginning and thought I wanted to be a veterinarian. But when Mom and I went over to the vet school in Eastern Washington to check it out, walked in, the whole place reeked of formaldehyde. And I almost passed out. I mean, I'm very sensitive, and turns out I'm super allergic to formaldehyde.
Interesting.
So I was sicker than you know what. And that was a deal breaker for me. But A, I was a mama's girl too. I didn't really want to leave home to go off to school. But then being allergic to formaldehyde, I couldn't see myself, you know, for a minimum of 4 years or more in that building. I just couldn't do it. But that was good, because I was already training and into the behavior and all that sort of stuff. So that's is really where my passion is in the behavior and dealing with animals' emotions and anxieties and helping them through all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so I collide with this spay neuter thing all the time. It comes up with behavior versus medicine and all that. So there's a can of worms we got to talk about, and I'm going to keep it closed till we close out this hour. We'll Red Robin and fire up hour number three, and then I'll get out the can opener and find out what Dr. Jeff has to say.
Okay.
So, everybody, stay right where you are. I'm opening a can of worms when we come back right here on Animal World, 11:50 a.m. Stay right where you are.